from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly look at Northern California's science and environment. California's Delta provides drinking water for more than 25 million people and irrigates millions of acres of farmland. But our reliance on the Delta has caused its ecosystem to collapse, harming the fishing industry and putting water supplies at risk. How do we bring it back to health? Lauren Summer reports on a group of ecological detectives who believe that maps from more than 150 years ago may hold the key.
As detective stories go, this isn't your typical scene. It's a sunny spring day in the Delta, about 20 miles south of Sacramento. Tractors move slowly through dry fields of row crops.
I mean, he was probably, once he got lost, they were wandering all over the place.
He was all over this place.
Allison Whipple and Robin Grossinger are looking through a pile of maps, trying to piece together the path of William Wright, a man who got hopelessly lost somewhere nearby.
So he's coming from right over there on our left.
I should probably mention this happened 160 years ago. Whipple and Grossinger are historical ecologists with the San Francisco Estuary Institute, a nonprofit research group based in Richmond. They use sources like old photographs, hand-drawn maps, and early land surveys to sleuth out what this landscape looked like before it was remade by Californians. In this case, they're relying on a tattered yellowing notebook found in a state archive.
Two stories actually written by a guy who was a duck hunter around 1850.
William Wright, who described a long, cold night lost in a Delta marsh.
On all sides stretched a vast wilderness of tules from 10 to 15 feet in height. The driving storm of sleet was bad, but the pitchy darkness was infinitely worse.
When Whipple and Grossinger read this, they knew they'd found a Holy Grail source document, not because of the dramatic story.
Our situation was so miserable that no words could do justice to it.
But because of passages like this.
The lakes proved to be from 100 to 300 yards in width, as near as we could judge. The water was very cold and often waist deep.
These details, says Grossinger, reveal a landscape that doesn't exist here today and hasn't existed for some time.
The Delta is probably one of the most intensively transformed parts of California, and it was also changed really early on because of such fertile land.
As California's gold rush boomed, farmers came to the Delta for its rich soil. Land went for a dollar an acre, and settlers turned the wetlands into dry agricultural land. 97% of the historic marshes were lost.
We have here maybe one of the most important parts of this state's ecosystem. And we don't actually know how it used to work.
That's where Grossinger and Whipple come in. The thousands of historical sources they've layered together reveal an ecosystem of incredible complexity.
We'd be in trees right here with a couple winding channels that were probably dry in the summer but had flowing water in the wintertime.
Yearly floods from the Sacramento River inundated Delta marshes, creating habitat for birds and young salmon. Closer to San Francisco Bay, hundreds of miles of small tidal channels branched out like capillaries in the wetlands. Today, most of those channels have been filled in. Returning the Delta to this pristine state just isn't possible, says Whipple, and that's not the goal of the project. But knowing how the ecosystem once worked could improve the habitat restoration efforts that are happening.
So this is south, this is north, this is Liberty Island.
Carl Wilcox is with California's Department of Fish and Game. The island he's showing me isn't really an island anymore.
The levees broke and it wasn't financially worth reclaiming.
Liberty Island used to look like other man-made islands in the Delta, a low-lying expanse of farmland protected by tall levees. But after the island flooded 15 years ago and the owners gave up, nature took over. Tules and cattails started sprouting. The wildlife followed.
Some of the endangered native fishes, Delta smelt, longfin smelt, are using this area.
So are endangered Chinook salmon.
These are more productive areas for them. They're more protected. They're less prone to predators.
California is using this project as a model for an ambitious proposal to restore 65,000 acres of habitat, part of an overhaul of the Delta's water infrastructure. Leo Winternitz of the Nature Conservancy says bringing wildlife back could make the state's water supply more reliable. Restrictions under the Endangered Species Act have limited how much water can be pumped from the Delta in recent years. But Winternitz says there is one big problem with restoration. Most of the islands in the Delta are below sea level.
just south of here, some of the other islands, they're in the 17 to 25 feet below sea level range. So if their levees broke, what you'd have is a large open body of water. You can't create tidal marshes in those areas.
That leaves only a few places where restoration is feasible. Winternit says in those areas, it's crucial the state look to the past to create the same interconnected habitat that once was. Governor Jerry Brown's administration is set to unveil the sweeping plan to restore the Delta later this year. For Quest, I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Head online to see a map of the historic Delta with original photos and journals of the time. That's at kqed.org/quest. Our series concludes next Monday when we look at the future of farming in the Delta.
Support for Quest is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, the David B. Gold Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.